And we're your hosts. I'm Diane Bortoletto.
And I'm Monique Chicardo.
Let's do it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to And Away We Go, F1 podcast, a Formula One podcast that goes beyond the track limits to include travel, food, and lifestyle surrounding the sport. I'm Diane Bortoletto, your pre-Drive to Survive Formula One fan, and today I'm back in Margaret River.
And I'm Monique Chicardo, your post-Drive to Survive fan, and today I'm still sitting in my lovely home here in the southwest of Norway in Stavanger.
Hi, Mon. We've got a very special episode this week for you. We've got Simone, who has invented an awesome app that every single Formula One fan will love. So we've brought him on the show to tell you a little bit about himself and about this app. Yeah, so welcome to the show, Simone.
Oh, hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. Now, firstly, like, you're a massive Formula One fan. Like, tell us where your love of the sport, where did that come from?
Really hard to tell when I started watching Formula One, but because if I don't remember, it's probably because I was really young, but I definitely can tell you why I fell in love with the sport, and that was because of my dad. He's always been a motorsport fan, and he would often, I remember that he often volunteered for as a marshal during the rally championship in Sardinia, where I come from. If somebody doesn't know, where Sardinia is the island in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And I remember when I was a kid that you wouldn't miss a single Formula One race on TV. So I 100% inherited this. I was always with him, you know, on the couch watching races. And he was waking me up, for example, at 4 or 5 a.m. For the Japanese or the Australian Grand Prix. I have this memory. And actually, this memory is also contain a little bit of trauma, because you have to know that my dad, it's not really good at waking people up. You know, he will, like, at 4 in the morning, he will slam the door and he started shouting, "Come on, it's time, you know, formation lap is starting."
Oh, so, two thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
No little gentle nudge to wake up.
He's always been like this. Like, even like when I had to go to school, "Come on, what's time? Fast, this and that." You
know? It sounds funny. Sounds very much like how a Sardinian dad would wake someone up, though. Yeah. Like, I picture that.
Yeah, completely opposite of my mum. My mum was so calm and stuff. Yeah.
Love it.
A family love of motorsport, dad waking you up and sitting on the couch and watching races.
I love the familial connections. I feel like there's so many of the people that we talk to, they're like, "Oh, you know, I was never really into it, but my dad used to take me to the track all the time, and then I fell in love." Yeah. And, like, I can remember my granddad, Mauritian granddad, would sit at the head of his table where he always sat, and he'd have the radio on and he'd be whistling to some classical music, and he'd have the Formula One on the TV. And I just remember when we were staying there, it'd be late at night because it was Australia, and walking into the kitchen to get a glass of water or something, and he'd be sitting there watching the Formula One. And so even though it took me a long time to get into it after that, I still remember, you know, my granddad sitting there watching it. He used to love it.
Obviously, Sardinian, Italian, and now you live in Germany. So how did you get from there to where you are today?
I've always been a very tech addict, and that led me to Germany. Before being a developer, I was kind of a journalist, like a tech journalist. So I was like reviewing products for some brands. I was testing it, reviewing it, and most of the time you could also keep the product. So it was a win-win. I really loved the job. And at some point, I received an offer for this online magazine related to tech that they also had the Italian branch in here in Berlin, in Germany. So that's why I decided to move. The funny story is, after 6 months, I think they had some sort of financial issue, so they had to let people go, and I was one of them, of course. But regardless of that, I decided not to go back to Sardinia. I just moved to Germany, so I decided to stay here. And I already had my freelancer position still open in Italy. I had some clients, so I decided to stay here in Germany, continue working. And then on my spare time, I started studying development. First front end, then a little bit of back end, and that's where I am right now. I'm still in Germany after 7 years. definitely an issue with the weather coming from Sardinia.
Coming from you're talking to an Australian that lives in Norway. I completely understand.
Yeah.
And you're talking to two solar powered people. That's exactly how we operate, with the power of the sun.
Yeah. And now look at you, you know, you've lived there for 7 years and you own your own a Formula One app, which I don't think we have even mentioned the name of yet, Di.
I'm going to get Simone to talk all about that. But first.
Fabulous.
But when you moved to Germany, did you speak German or did you move there? No.
I still don't speak German.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's just because if you move to Germany, but you move to Berlin, you don't necessarily need to speak German. You know, you can find people speaking English literally everywhere. You probably need German only for, you know, some paperwork, you know, if you go to the, I don't know, or if you call Vodafone because you have a problem with the internet, then you need German. But there is my girlfriend for that.
It's the same here. Like, you need Norwegian to get a job in Norway. Like, all the job ads say we speak in Norwegian. You need to have a good understanding of conversational Norwegian. You can get away, like, I'm currently pregnant. I have 1,000,005 appointments. I have to call the doctors 1,000,005 times a week. And I can get away with speaking English. It's completely fine. Everyone speaks English everywhere I go. The only thing is, when they hand me paperwork, it's all in Norwegian. Yeah. But yeah, it's the same sort of thing. You don't need to learn it. And it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because you're not forced to learn it because we do speak English. But yeah, it's pretty easy to get around, huh?
And it is so hard, especially when you are an adult. Learning a new language is horrible.
Went to uni for 4 years in my 40s to learn Italian properly because I wanted to speak, read and write in proper grammar. And even after 4 years and a diploma, with a distinction average, mind you, not sure I can say that I can do that. So,
yeah, it's hard. So hard. And it's, you know, where you get so frustrated so quickly because we know that we can communicate so well in another language. So then as soon as you can't and you hit barriers trying to speak in the new language, it's like, nah, speak English, it's fine.
I mean, I think what makes it more funny is that for 4 years, I was working here in Berlin for an online language school. So even though they were offering free classes, never took a German.
Oh. Like you said, do you have your girlfriend for that?
Yeah, exactly.
So with your tech background and your journalist background, which explains why the articles on your app and website are so well written.
Is an all-rounder.
He's an all-rounder. Tell us all about Formula Live Pulse.
Of course. I mean, as I said, being passionate about tech and also being passionate about Formula One, I think it was just like a matter of time before the two passions will clash. But the actual idea of the app, I think it's born because of a mix of a necessity and also some flaws that me and my girlfriend, we found at some point. Regarding the necessity, I think it's just because at some point my girlfriend started to watch Formula One after we met. She's Irish, so we made this pact. I would follow rugby, which is really complex. I learned that it's really complex. Mm-hmm. There are so many rules that I still don't understand. and she will watch Formula One. But I gotta say, she wasn't a newbie in Formula One. She was always like the sport. She always watched the sport from a distance. So she knew the driver, she knew the team. She, most importantly, she knew that Formula One is not like just cars running in circle. You know, that's much more than that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Brilliant. Yes. So, we like your girlfriend.
Exactly.
She said thank you. And of course, when you become an active fan and you start watching it actively, this thing, I think, just amplified. So you have so many questions about anything, because anything can happen during your race. Like, let's take, for example, like the British Grand Prix. If you're a newbie, you probably have so many questions because of everything that happened during that Grand Prix.
it still hurts me. That Grand Prix still, I'm traumatized by that Grand Prix, but continue on. Yes, we have so many questions.
It's very triggering for Australians.
Continue on.
And because of all these questions, some I think were really, really hard to answer, you know, because most of the time on the TV broadcast, you don't have a lot of data, you know, to support. They show you what they want you to see. That's it. I remember that, I think it was by October, November, like probably it was the end of the 2024. And we decided to build this dashboard. You know, it was a very primitive dashboard that we could have on the laptop, sitting on our lap, and we could watch lap by lap some data that we were interested into, you know, so we could read the race, even though the commentator maybe wasn't showing something or wasn't saying something about what we were really interested into. So I think at the end of the 2024 season, after the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, we kind of thought, like, you know, this was really helpful for us, for me that I'm a seasoned fan, but for you that you're like watching the sports right now, really actively, learning. So we thought that this could be really helpful for many people out there. And we decided to go deeply into it, like trying to find more reason to validate the idea. And we were able to find so many. But the most important were, for whoever watched Formula One during the TV broadcast, you have access only to a very small portion of the data. And sometimes, even as I said, the commentator really doesn't explain something that you really want to know. So this means that you must get the data that you need.
It eliminates a little bit of bias there too, right? In that you have the data there to make your own opinions because you can see exactly what's happening rather than hear, you know, what could potentially be a slightly biased opinion from the commentator on a piece of data.
Clear.
Yeah.
And this goes to the second problem. The second problem is, how do I get the data? Because it sounds stupid, but it's actually not that easy to find all the Formula One data, you know, because they produce millions.
I was going to ask, where do you get all the data to plug into the app? Because a lot of, like, you've got access to team radio and
crazy,
you know, all the different tire, you know, where do you get that? Like, does Formula One share that with you or the teams, or is there a secret database somewhere on the internet?
I was just
going
to say, your little secret?
No. I mean, no, it's not secret, honestly. Formula One just share the data with a specific protocol. So if you are able to connect to that protocol, you get all the lifetime in data. And Formula One share the majority of it. So they share the lifetime and they share the pit stop information, the tire stints information. And also for the team radio, they share the public team radios. You know, whatever you listen on the TV broadcast, so the ones that are censored, those are the ones that you get. You don't get more than that, you know? The problem was that, like, if you don't really have a specific, let's say, Formula One knowledge, but at the same time, a specific background, like you're not an engineer, a developer, and so on, it's really hard to get the data, the raw data. And then you have to be also able to, once you get the data, you have to manipulate the data in order to...
And interpret it.
Exactly. In order to show it also, like, in a UI, like, in a way that people could understand the data better.
And make it much more user-friendly rather than just a big piece of telemetry or something that you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, exactly. What is that?
Squiggly lines, yay. Yeah.
And then I think the third problem was when the data doesn't exist, you know, you want to analyze something, but the data doesn't exist because Formula One either doesn't have it or they just don't produce it because they don't care, or maybe they have it and they just don't share it. And then you have two choices. You either create the data, manipulating other data, and so you create a new set of data, or you're stuck, basically, with what you have. This is why the idea of the app is born. It's also born for other reasons. Like, for example, a recent study shows that between 74 and 81% of Formula One fans that follow the sports in the past 5 years, and they are under the 30 years old.
I was going to put my hand up and say that was me, but it's not. Damn it.
No. Okay. They consume content through YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and meaning that they don't necessarily need to watch a race to get the information. They really like summaries. They really like the content. They really like the analysis. I know that is also very controversial for very seasoned fans because I'm like, if you don't watch the sport, you're not a fan. I get it, but a new generation, they probably, either they don't have time, or I think that is also because they have different priorities, and
They don't care enough. That's it. They don't care enough. Put in the time, put in the commitment, watch the race. Like
It's the attention span. That's what it is. They cannot sit for a couple of hours.
Well, that's a muscle they need to flex a bit more. Like, you know, this it's a life skill. And attention span is a life skill. And Formula One is the perfect vehicle, unintended, to flex that muscle and grow their attention span. Yeah, rant over.
I'm 100% with you, Diane. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't even watch races, like, you know, if like after the race happened, you know, I have to watch live. I don't care, you know, what happened. I have to watch live.
Yeah. See, I'm the kind of person, well, we have to watch the race no matter what. So if I if we can't watch it at the exact start time, we have the Formula One TV app, which means we can, you know, obviously go straight back to the start of the race, even if it's half an hour after the race has started. But we literally have a phone down policy. If we are not watching the race from like the start time, phone down, cannot look at anything, because we know that if we pick up the phone, the first thing that's going to pop up on social media or the F1 app or whatever is going to be a spoiler. So we're like, no technology. Got to sit down and watch the race. And like, that is, we even watch like all the, we don't watch the highlights. We watch the whole race. Attention span is there. We will watch the whole race.
You wouldn't be in the co-host seat of a podcast like this if you didn't watch the whole race.
Exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, being in Australia in a totally different time zone, you know, it's not always possible to watch the race live, even though that's my preference. What I do is just same thing. I don't look at my phone. I get up early. It might be 5 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I put straight the, you on. Know, make a coffee and I'm watch the race. Even if I look at emails, there'll be something from Formula One or one of the teams, and it's like, oh no, now I know.
Yep. Spoiled. But I did have a question. So we have the Formula One TV app, or the Formula One TV, and on Formula One TV, my partner has paid for the Plus subscription, which means we get the little screens on the side that we can pick and choose what we want to put on. You can get, you know, helmet cam from Alex Albon's helmet cam, but there are lots of different things that you can choose from the side there. So how does your app differ from what we can find as the added bonus data stuff from the Formula One TV app? Like, where are the differences there, and where do you see your app filling those holes, if there are some?
Right. I mean, Formula One TV is just broadcasting, right? It's the official Formula One app that also provides live timing. I was actually really surprised that when they recently updated the app. The app is beautiful, I gotta say. The app is beautiful. But then I checked the live timing. It's exactly the same. They didn't change anything. And actually, I was really happy about it. Sorry for my one. But what it differs is the fact that if you see the live timing that Formula One provides in the app, I think it's still really old. Many people complain about it, and they don't let you customize anything. Just a very quick example: if people want to see the gap, but at the same time they want to see the sectors or the micro sector in the Formula One app, that's not possible. You have to scroll in different views to see what you want to see. For example, the micro sector in Formula Live Pulse is different. So the focus when you check the live timing is just the live timing. So you see all the drivers, you see the gap, and then through the settings you can customize what you want to add into the live timing. You want a sector, you just add it. You want a micro sector, you just add it. You want to see the gap to leader, or you want to see the interval, you can just choose. You want a big status bar, or you would just want the compact one. You know, we just wanted to make the user a way to customize what they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. And that's the primary focus of the app in terms of live timing. And then all the secondary things are just like secondary. You know, when you want to see the pit stop, you just like watch it maybe like a couple of times during the race. By before, there was like this very confusing screen before, when you just had to scroll left and right to see all the data. And we just realized that at the end of the day, what people really care about is just like live timing, the gap. And for example, during quali, you would activate the micro sector to see if someone is improving or not. that was it. I think what we really do differently is that, plus a set of features that Formula One doesn't really offer.
Yeah. Do you know what? Listening to what you're saying makes me so happy, because so many tech companies forget the user experience. They forget their users, and they just want to, I have to think of a better word than what I normally use because it's vulgar. They just want to flex their tech bro muscles. I'm thinking of Meta as a good example here. They want to flex their tech bro muscles, and they're like, look what we can do. And nobody really wants that feature. Nobody really wants, you know, to have an AI robot talking to them in their groups on Facebook, you know, as an example. But they just keep adding all these features that they think are great, but they're not necessarily listening to or thinking about their user. But from what you're saying, you're really, really taking into consideration this kind of user-led, user-driven experience where you can choose the experience that you want to have on the app and really make that your own, as opposed to just being fed what you think that the user wants.
What I love about Formula Live Pulse is that, because sometimes with the broadcast, there's a little lag, like with the timing, and there's a option, you know, like you can delay the timing in the app. So it's exactly the same. So the app is quicker than the broadcast that comes through the TV.
Yeah. It's really useful to deactivate a sync mode, for example, if you are at the track. That's really useful because you see the data in real time. So if you're at the track, I definitely recommend to use the app because of it. If you are home, just like usually the broadcast is between 26 and above, you know, seconds behind the real time.
I was thinking about it and I was like, it's such a handy thing to have when you are at the track, because you know, if you think that the broadcasts lack information or lack, you know, data that you want to see, try being at the bloomin' track. Especially if you're not in front of the big screen, or you can't hear, which is, it's really hard to hear any of the commentary unless the cars are on the other side of the track. You get even less data, you get even less information. I was at the Bahraini Grand Prix this year, and we were right in front of a big screen, but two of the ladies that we were with could not see the big screen. So they couldn't see, this was when we were at qualifying, and so they couldn't tell what was happening because it was just cars going around, and they couldn't see when the names were swapping over on the board because their eyesight wasn't so great. And so they had to go inside and watch the broadcast. Times like that, to have this app in your hand is perfect.
Or a pair of glasses, yeah.
Or a pair of glasses. But the app's better.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. All right, so talk us through some of the features of the app, besides the timing.
Yeah, we usually divide the features like in three categories. So the first one is the one related to the real time. And in here, we've developed some unique features, like I said before. So we have the live telemetry, for example, so you can see charts of like how the gap to leader is evolving, the lap time is evolving, and so on. We have something that was really stupid when I thought about it, but I'm like, it's really useful. It's the track limit violation tracker.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's really useful. People were asking for it and were like, why I didn't think about it? And then there is the live standing, so you could see like in real time, based on the position on track, how, you know, the title could go for to Piastri or to Norris. Who knows? Probably Piastri. Anyway.
Thank you.
And then very recently, then we introduced the live radio, which is it's like a theme radio, but it's really more powerful than that. So you could basically see all the radio messages between driver and engineer in real time. You don't have to wait for Formula One to share that specific team radio. That's a really unique feature. I think I know only one software that does have that feature, and I think it's really cool. It's very unique, and people really love it because there are so many things that, not the driver, mostly it's the engineer that talk to the driver, but you can learn so much by reading those transcriptions during the race. Seriously. Yeah. Usually during the race, I think there are more than, I think in total it's 5,000 messages between all the drivers, you know. So there is a lot of communication going on during the race. And then you can see, especially during the last race weekend in the UK, doing so many safety car periods. It's crazy the amount of messages that they share during the safety car period.
Yeah, because this is where they're talking about strategy, what's happened, how tires are doing, how they think. So it must be like, that's probably prime information sharing time, yes, because they're also not having to concentrate so hard on driving.
During a normal race with no safety car or weather condition that are tricky, usually mostly you see the engineer talking to the driver. It's just like telling, like, strut this, strut that, brake balance this in this turn and so on. But most of the time, the driver doesn't really talk to the engineer unless they have some question.
But there's also an aggregate of news, right? So you've got news that you write, so your own articles with what's happening in the world of Formula One, as well as news from other sources. So it's all in one spot, which is really handy. You've got a video feature as well with lots of Kim Illman's videos and videos from Formula One.
Yeah.
And we love Kim, fellow West Australian. So
he
does great content. Yeah. So it's just a really, really useful app for when you're watching the race, but also when you're not watching the race and you just want to see what's happening in the world of Formula One. But with the F1 app that they've updated, you say it's a beautiful app, but I don't really like the update because, I don't know, maybe it's a user error on my part, but things like when I'm forward planning this podcast, for example, looking at dates, just getting the whole calendar up on one screen, it just doesn't seem to happen on my phone in the F1 app anymore.
Do you know what I don't like? They updated, so now when you go into the home page, it's not organized with the latest news at the top. It starts with featured news. So when I get an alert on my phone that there's a new article that's popped up, I click on that alert and then, I don't know, for some reason it doesn't open, so I have to go into the app and then I have to like scroll through to try and find this article that they're talking about, which, you know, in the world of apps and app development, it sounds like such a minor error, but it's a major error. If I'm not the only person that, you know, thinks that, then it's a major, major error for user experience because people just go, oh, not going to use that.
Yeah. Do you also have issues to find in the Formula One app during the race the driver of the day?
I don't think I've ever been able to, I've ever looked at that, to be honest.
No, me neither.
That's a honest, constructive feedback for Formula One. Like, it's so hard to find the driver of the day, where to vote the driver of the day in the app. Sometimes you have to scroll so much to find it.
Yeah. Oh, I've never voted in it. Like, I thought that was an F1 TV only thing, which we don't have in Australia, but you can do it through the app, can you?
You can go either to their website or through the app. You can vote the driver of the day. But again, it's really
hard. So how do I vote for Piastri now?
That's one and probably the purpose of the app. We wanted to create like a hub where everything is included in the app. You have real time, you have post session analysis, and also like all the set of features that every Formula One fan needs. So news, videos, and so on. Also, like, we have some things that are really, really interesting, like the super license point tracker, which is something that it's really hard to find. You have to Google it.
Yeah. Even though you're delving so deep into the data, this isn't something just for people who have watched Formula One for years. You know, we've said this time and time and time again that the more you start to learn about a sport, the more interested and invested you become in that sport because you know about it. So even if you're a fledgling Formula One fan or, you know, just starting out on your journey and you're kind of intrigued, this is the sort of thing that you should be downloading so that you can learn more about it. Like, if you're interested in learning more about the sport, it's right there on your phone once you've downloaded it. But like, these are the things that get you more interested in the sport, right? When you can see like, oh crap, that's why he was going a whole lot faster than everyone else. He was the only one on softs. You know, those sorts of things.
Thank you for that.
I love the tire, like that you can see what tire that they're on when they go, because not every pit stop makes the broadcast, right? The pit stop, you know, they can't show every single pit stop, so you don't always know. But I've got a little fun thing for you guys, that to know what tires are what when they put them on, so you know that they've got different colours, bread, butter and jam. So bread, the colour of bread is usually white and bread's crusty and hard. Butter is yellow and a little softer, usually in the fridge. And jam is red and soft.
Okay.
Really nice.
Bread butter jam. A very easy way to bread butter jam. To remember, if you're looking, you can see the white rim. What sort of tyre is that? White.
Yeah.
It's bread.
What about intermediate then? I'm not going to ask about wets because they don't even use them anymore.
Yeah, right. All the wet races that we've had this year seem to really, really hurt my soul. So, yeah, let's not talk about wet tyres.
So getting to the business end then of Formula Life Pulse. So you can download it for free. There's a 7-day free trial.
There is.
That all of our listeners can get, which is awesome. So you can try it out. I would recommend downloading it maybe on a Thursday so you can use it during free practice and qualifying and in the race itself. But then after that, like how much is it per month or is it just a one-off fee? How do you structure?
So, yeah, when we added the free trial, we just wanted to give you like the full app functionalities with no commitment at all. So you will see that there is like no credit card needed. There is no subscription. So for one complete race weekend, you just explore the pro features. And then after 7 days, you just go back to the free plan. And then you can decide to subscribe to the monthly or to the elite plan, which at the moment, like the monthly plan is 99 cents per month. I mean, it always depends where you live. Like it depends by the currency, of course. If you're in Europe, it's 99 cents. If you are, I think in the US, it's 99 cents as well. We introduced the free trial really recently, like in the very last update. And I think it's a win-win for us, especially because more people using the pro plan is more feedback for us because we really still need a lot of feedback from our user. There is a form in the app. There is a form in our website. We just want to improve the app. And if the app is where it is right now and that we went over 10,000 downloads in less than 3 months, I think it's just because like so many people that are fan of motorsport, they just like sent us messages saying like, I would like this and that. I think this should be this like that. That's one of the reasons why we improved the lifetime so much. We made it customizable for every user needs because people want to like, I want this, I want that. So many people had different, you know, different ways.
Everyone has their own preferences, right? Exactly. Like, I know I hate on the broadcast the distance from the leader. I'm like, I don't care about that. I want to know who's got DRS on the next person and who's going to overtake in a second. Like, I need to know so I can watch that.
Same. I think my girlfriend complains about that all the time. Like, why are they not showing the interval? And now I have to do the calculation of my own, you know?
Right. Yes. Right. Oh my God. Especially if you're watching it at like, you know, late or really early and your brain's still kicking in. You're like, oh, I can't do maps at this hour.
Yeah. And when they're not broadcasting all those really close, you know, DRS fights, you know, often they'll be focusing on just one of them and it's not the one that you want, that you're interested in. Like, I don't care about who's in the mid pack, or I don't care if Stroll is just about to overtake Lawson. Like, I don't care about that fight. I care about the one up the front. So like being able to see that interval, you know, to be able to see that and understand what's happening on the track, that is key. You know, obviously a lot of people like that, not everyone, but
I feel like I'm in a third world country, like not having F1 TV. It's
I mean, I have to use a VPN, otherwise there is no way, but I really love F1 TV. In the past, I used to follow the Italian TV broadcast. Right now, like after I subscribed to F1 TV Pro, like there is no comparison, honestly.
Guys, should we move into the final three?
Let's do it.
Amazing. This is the final three, the three questions that we ask every guest on our podcast. So, Simone, if you could holiday in any Formula One destination, whether it's on the race calendar now or not, where would you choose to go on a holiday?
A race weekend?
No, just for travel purposes.
Okay. Well, I think that's an easy one. Singapore, definitely.
Love.
Yeah, without even thinking Singapore. I think just because it was the very first night race in 2008 and the circuit, I really love the circuit of Marina Bay. During the night, it looks amazing. And I remember that in the past, like with Google Street View, I was just like trying to go and virtually walk in that area. And I really love it. I know that it's a very stressful and hard race for the drivers, but I think from a spectator point of view, it's great.
Singapore's like our second home race in Australia, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it's the next closest.
Okay. Question number two. If you could go on a holiday with any Formula One driver, dead or alive, who would you go on a holiday with?
I would pick Max, definitely.
Max?
Yes. I'll get into it. It's because I feel really close. I really relate with him, like personally. I really feel close to the way that he works. When I work like in my job, I'm exactly like him. Like I'm very focused. I'm very serious about improving. He's aggressive when he needs to be. And actually is really, really direct. It's a really direct person. So he has no problem saying that something isn't working, you know, that is not going to change the way of working because just to please people, you know. And on the other hand, off the track, he's a really good guy. I think he's really caring. Yeah. He showed many times that he really cares about people who loves. So, yeah. And also, he reminds me of Schumacher a lot. Because on track, he was an animal. But off track, he was a completely different person.
Family man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Max Verstappen's really misunderstood because the way that he's portrayed in the media, you know, you see him.
The villain.
And you see him in his media day interviews. And it's just not entertaining so many of the questions that come up because they are stupid. And he's just not into that. And so he gets portrayed in a particular way when realistically he's going, this is all make-believe. I'm not going to attend to that. And, you know, you see the way that he is with with Kelly's little girl, Penelope. You see the way he is with Lily. He is friendly and he likes to laugh. And I think he's a bit of a geek as well.
You know what I love about Max is when he land a joke and when people react to the joke that they laugh, he started laughing even more just because he knows that people love that joke. I really like that of Max. But also, when you see when he's live streaming with his friends and sometimes Penelope, you know, joins into the room and that explains a lot of Max off track.
Yes. It takes a lot to bring someone else's child up and that says a lot about him to me as well. He's a father to his own daughter now as well, but he has been a stepfather all those years and he seems so kind and caring. And I take that, especially when you know what his father's like, I take that very seriously, seeing that from him.
Simona, you're the first person to say Max Verstappen.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
Yeah. So does that mean you're a Red Bull fan?
No, I'm not. I'm a Ferrari fan. I'm Italian.
Thank God for that. Thank God. Well, I was starting to panic, so I'm glad we got that cleared up. Oh, good.
No, I think my family would not let me go back home anymore. Like if I said I'm a Red Bull fan.
Speaking of Italy, one of the world's best cuisines. If you could cook any dish from any cuisine from any of the countries that the Formula One goes to, what would you choose to cook and why?
Well, easy one. You know, just you. Probably don't even really have to explain this. I think I would cook a pizza with a shape of Monza.
I love it.
It really is implicit. Don't I have to explain that, right?
Perfect.
So many people opt for the Italian option because it's such an approachable cuisine. It's such a, you know, you don't have to spend hours in the kitchen cooking. You know, it's simple, beautiful ingredients done in a simple, beautiful way, and it's so approachable. And who doesn't love pizza?
Forget approachable. It just tastes good. It's got to be tasty, or what's the point?
So,
yeah. Amazing. Italian seems to be our favorite answer there.
I wonder why.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, on that note, I mean, what a fabulous chat, and thank you for Formula Live Pulse. I've used it for several races and sometimes I have to tear my eyes off the phone and back onto the TV because I'm engrossed with all the information that's coming up. It's very easy to use, whether you're a Formula One fan, you know, for decades or whether you're a new Formula One fan, all the data's at your fingertips. 7-day free trial, download the app, have a play around. We've loved having you on the show, hearing your story, Simone, and thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was really fun. I loved it.
Fabulous. And if you guys liked what you listened to or watched, if you're watching us on YouTube, you can like the episode. You can subscribe to us. You can leave a comment, do all of it or any of it, some of it, whatever you want to do. You can also find us on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and like I said, YouTube. Or you can email us at andawaywego f1podcast@gmail.com.
Well, thank you, Simone. Thank you, Mon. And thank you guys for having us in your ears. Until next week and until lights out.
It's lights out and away we go.
And Away We Go podcast is produced by Diane Bortoletto and Monique Ciccato. Let's do it.